We've been working on the assumption that, quote, less than 10% of transmission happens outdoors. However, it is just as likely that the transmission percentage is less than 1%. Why? Why didn't they update it? Is this about them big brothering us and trying to keep it safer longer?
No.
I could understand it, but it's not honest.
Yeah, they're just trying to keep us safer for longer. And by the way, it might be 0.1%, but Megilla Gorilla, that's too complicated for him. He's not good with the gazintas, you know. Not like Jethro Bodine. He's not real good. You got, what does that point mean? Why do you think they call him Fredo? Why do you think he's Megilla Gorilla? We've got a gorilla for sale. Megilla Gorilla for sale. Chris Cuomo, of course, CNN's finest. Is he CNN's finest, Michael, do you think, Victor? Is that the best CNN has to offer? He's the brother of the Democrat governor, you know, the nursing home slayer, the groper. He won an Emmy for his press conferences where he lied to everyone. It's a coalition. It's a Venn diagram, Hollywood, the Democrat Party, and mental institutions. The news media, actually, is the third element of that Venn diagram, as any child of six can surely tell you. Well, happy Wednesday to you, and welcome. We are, of course, at 888-630-9625, 888-630-9625. What are Bill Clinton's doing today? You know, it's Wednesday. Wednesday is a very important day for him, so he's probably got something special planned, I'm guessing. We have many big stories today, and there are many, and they're big stories. They really, honestly are. And that Megilla Gorilla clue there, Fredo Cuomo, he's onto something there. He must have read the New York Times or had somebody read it to him, perhaps. You know, it's encrypted when it comes to people like Megilla Gorilla. He's got a brain the size of a walnut. The rest is skull. All skull has something to do with the steroids. But that's another discussion for another day. They also have stars like Jim Sciutto. He's an anchorman there. He was an Obama administration official, and now he's a CNN anchorman. It's the path to success in the American news media and American journalism. Remarkable stuff. So we have, is it fair to say, guys, that it's an energy crisis, that we're having an energy crisis, at least in the eastern part of the United States? You know, because pipelines, what are pipelines anyway? You know, the first thing Joe Biden did, one of the first really foolish things that he did, and that means one of the first things that he did, was to shut down the Keystone XL pipeline, the Keystone XL, because, you know, somebody was against it, and some radicals were against it. And so he goes with the radical thing, and he just does whatever he's told. He's like a jellyfish. He wanders around bumping into things until he turns around and goes and bumps into something else. And people tell him what to do, and he does it. And he's goofy. It's like there's that old joke about the Disney thing, and I'm talking about Goofy. I'll just leave it at that. But he's a goofy one, and he did cancel the Keystone XL pipeline. Are they still working on canceling, or do they cancel that other pipeline? They're working on hobbling us in terms of energy. It'll make everything more expensive. And then the news media just won't tell you about it. The Washington Post won't report it. And if they do, they'll polish it up. And they'll say, no, it's real good that it's more expensive, real good. Everything's better. Forget about poor people. You know, what do we care about them? The middle class? What about the middle class? This is good stuff. But we've got, and then the stories popping this morning are of, and you were seeing it yesterday, there are gas stations running out of gasoline, there are gas lines, there are people bringing gas cans. Is this picture of a woman filling a big tub from the what do you call that, you know, place like the Home Depot or something, just filling a tub and has her trunk open like she's going to be able to lift this 100-pound tub of gasoline and put it in the trunk of her car, and that's a good idea. This is what happens when the left takes over, when the Democrats take over. We've seen it again and again. And Bill Clinton wasn't as crazy as these people, or as dumb as these people. And honestly, the party, the Democrat Party, has gotten an awful lot crazier than they were during the Clinton years. And they're being run. The party is being run by crazy people. And the ones that aren't crazy, they just kind of go along because they like the power and the, you know, eating the speaker's dining room and things like that. Very important stuff. And it's quite remarkable. We've got state after state, from Texas up to New Jersey. We've got, and that's quite a sweep. We've got gas problems, gasoline problems, gas station problems, lines at gas stations running out of gas. We've got real energy. Not since Jimmy Carter, I think, have we seen anything like this. And I think Joe Biden is very rapidly, 102 days or something, he's already Jimmy Carterizing the country. And going along with that, we've got, you remember President Trump and Israel for Middle East peace deals, four Middle East peace deals with Israel, moved the embassy, the U.S. embassy, from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem. That was considered to be a big taboo, a big no-no, big no-no. And all the lefties here in the United States were afraid, and they were quaking in their little skirts. And they said, oh, no, you can't do that because, the terrorists will be mad, and we're afraid. And you guys should really just sit down and be patted on the head and, you know, told to shut up, give them a lollipop or something while adults take over. Because these people aren't adults. They don't think as adults think. They don't behave as adults behave. President Trump, remember, moving the embassy to Jerusalem, and they said, oh, this means war. There's going to be war in the Middle East. And, of course, we had 4 years of peace and prosperity under President Trump, which is kind of, if I remember this correctly, the role of and the job of the president of the United States is to create greater prosperity and bring about periods of great peace. President Trump and his awful, terrible son-in-law, Jared Kushner, an observant Jew, by the way, and he was traveling all over the Middle East striking peace deals. And the Democrats in the news media, but I repeat myself, downplayed these things and poo-pooed them and said, oh, these, you know, the peace deals are nothing, but moving the embassy to Jerusalem was going to be a real problem. Of course, it wasn't. Everything they said was a lie. Everything they said was the opposite of the truth. And it became abundantly clear over time that everything they said was the opposite of the truth. And the peace deals still stand, by the way, between Israel and various Middle Eastern. And we have Morocco was one of them in North Africa. Peace deals, a Muslim nation, a kingdom, and struck a deal, normalized relations with Israel. Also, Kosovo, Serbia, cutting, hey, we recognize Israel, too. Everybody's jumping on the bandwagon. The President Trump was on the verge of getting Saudi Arabia to jump in, and then that was going to be the big domino and peace in the Middle East everywhere. Everybody recognizing Israel. And the Democrats said, no, the path to peace is through the Palestinians. And everybody's known for 50 years that the Palestinians have no appetite for or interest in peace. They have an interest in exterminating in a genocidal fashion the state of Israel. And Hamas, a radical Islamic jihadi terrorist organization, a military organization funded by Iran with money given to Iran by the Obama-Biden administration, been waging war in Yemen and terrorism around the world. And now they're funding the attacks on Israel, these missile attacks, rocket attacks on Israel. And what do we have? What's the body count now? I think we're up to 35 Israelis killed, and we have 43 Palestinians killed. And the media want to tell you, including 13 children. And don't forget to send a check to Planned Parenthood, because they care very, very deeply about children. were it not for double standards and the logical, rational disconnect that these people live and breathe is beyond my ability to understand. But now we've got what looks kind of like all-out war, and it's Israel and Hamas. Hamas is backed by Iran, and Iran is backed by the money given to them by the Obama-Biden administration. So there's mayhem in the Middle East. We've got gas lines in the United States. We're looking at inflation rolling our way. The gas thing is going to lead to more expensive everything across the country. It already is. They don't count a lot of it. We're going to have consumer price index numbers coming out today, and it won't the number won't tell the whole story, not by a long shot. But we've got the border going mad. Central America and Mexico no longer working with the United States as they were under President Trump. And that's because Joe Biden rang the dinner bell and is handing out gift baskets at the border. And it looks a lot like America's in decline after just, you know, let's round it off and say 100 days of Joe Biden and the Democrats, and because the Democrats are in control of Congress, too. And they've spent already trillions and trillions of dollars above and beyond our normal trillions of dollars of spending every year. And they're overloading the system. They're breaking the system. And boy, I tell you, the elections, the midterm elections of 2022 can't come quickly enough. And the Democrats, I've been talking about this for months. I saw some people talking about it yesterday, like it was new news or something. The Democrats are looking at the timeline here. They see that the 2022 elections, they've gone so crazy that they're going to be slaughtered, massacred, wiped out, exterminated, genocided, not really just using all that, you know, hysterical media language. They're going to lose miserably the House of Representatives and possibly even the Senate next year. And then they won't be able to get anything done after that. So they're making a mad dash for the money and the drugs right now because they're planning, probably wisely and correctly, that they're not going to have the House of Representatives after next year. So whatever they're going to ruin, they got to ruin it now before mom and dad get home. You know, it's like mom and dad are at the beach house and the teenagers are having a party back at the house in the burbs and they're burning the place down and nobody's calling the fire department. But mom and dad are going to come home, next year with the midterm elections, and they've got to party as much as they can before the midterm elections. That's pretty crazy. Also, this gas pipeline thing, it is Russia, and the White House is lying about that, and so the media is lying about it, too. It's Russia, and now even PBS, the Panhandler Broadcasting System with those milquetoast leftists that they have over there, I've never picked up a football in their lives, and they had a little segment last night where they're saying that it is actually Russian intelligence, they're saying, that is behind the pipeline shutdown, the Colonial Pipeline hack and shutdown, which is leading to, you know, gas prices going, in some cases, 40%. States of emergency have been called by the governors in Florida, Georgia, North Carolina, and Virginia. The Environmental Protection Agency, the EPA, is providing emergency waivers for too many states to list here. Louisiana, Mississippi, Alabama, Georgia, Florida, Tennessee, South Carolina, North Carolina, Washington, D.C., Virginia, Maryland, Delaware, Pennsylvania. D.C. is, of course, not a state, but a state of emergency anyway, an emergency waiver. And when asked about it yesterday, the White House and the National Security, this woman who's supposed to be the Deputy National Security Advisor for such matters, said that when it comes to the Colonial Pipeline, that's a private business and that's a private matter. So our national security, not very important to them. They're really just completely inept and corrupt. And I don't think they can possibly be this stupid. Can they be this stupid, do you think? I don't know. But if they aren't this stupid, then they're this devious and this sinister and this corrupt. Pretty amazing stuff. So the GRU, the Foreign Intelligence Service, kind of a branch off when they broke up the KGB part of it. The GRU is kind of like MI6 in Great Britain, their foreign intelligence. And even the Panhandler Broadcasting, PBS last night, saying, yeah, it looks like the GRU is actually behind this disruption of energy supplies in the eastern United States. 43% of all of the oil and gas on the East Coast come through this in the eastern United States, not just along the coast, come through this pipeline, which originates back in Texas, sends enough fuel up here. It's the send of the, what is it, 2.5 billion or million barrels a day or something. It's the same amount of energy that is used by Germany, right? There's one pipeline sends out the same amount of energy that's used by Germany in a day and a year. All of that good stuff. And now we've got, get a load of this, Gretchen Whitmer, the governor of Michigan, planning on shutting down another pipeline today. She's got a pipeline going through Michigan, and it's a deal we have with Canada. And wait till you hear about this, the details of this. She's a Democrat governor. She's the one that banned seeds for planting tomatoes and things. And she is calling for, she's threatening Canada as another, she's like threatening war with Canada, I think, an energy war. Canada's going crazy. You know, the Keystone XL also involved Canada. Joe Biden stuck it to them then. They don't like our allies. They like our enemies. and they're not on our side. I have been saying this for years. They're not on our side. And Gretchen Whitmer is threatening to shut down yet another pipeline going through the state of Michigan because, leftists and other lunatics have said you've got to shut it down. They're choking us to death in the United States economically in terms of energy. Again, President Trump, Middle East peace, President Trump, energy independence for the first time ever. Barely 100 days in, and they're wrecking it all. And it's not a mistake. 72% of gas stations in Metro Raleigh are without gasoline. 71% of gas stations in Metro Charlotte are without gasoline, according to reports. And, Jill Biden yesterday said, we're just 100 days in and we're just getting started. We're just getting started. Well, that does not bode well for the future. We are at 888-630-9625.
There's only one Chris Plant. The Chris Plant Show.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL Fan Festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.
Other than that, things are going pretty well. You know, war in Israel. 4 years of peace and Israel peace deals being cut all over the Middle East. Really making major headway there. Iran back on its heels. Well, Iran is on a tear again, using the billions that the Obama-Biden people gave to them. And people are dying all over the place, people that have never died before. Remarkable stuff. And the Washington Post, they're on the side of Hamas, which is a radical Islamic terrorist organization. They also have a front page hit piece on Senator Josh Hawley, front page A section. Very lengthy, very, very lengthy. They worked on it for a very long time to smear him with really nothing. But they're a slime organization. So that's not a thing. Fuel panic. They've got the story of the fuel panic is on page 18 of the Washington Post. Pay no attention to that. All right, let's go to the telephones, Michael. Let's go to, hey, look at that. Let's go to Victor, calling from Silver Spring, Maryland. Victor, you're on the Chris Plant Show.
Thanks, Chris.
Hey, Victor.
I'm old enough to remember the days of Jimmy Carter and the long gas lines. And I remember my wife at the time said, I can't get gas today because my license plate number ends with an odd number. I have to wait the next day to get gas. And she wasn't too happy about that, even though she was a flaming leftist. You don't hear anything from AOC about the shutdown of the pipeline. I guess she's quietly celebrating. And you talked right about the governor from Michigan that wants to shut down. I'm beginning to say this is day 112 of America held hostage. We
got to
start that again.
Nightline from the how many days did that end up being, Victor?
444.
That's correct. 444 days, and in the end, 52 hostages, and they were released on the day that Ronald Reagan was inaugurated, because Jimmy Carter was so feckless and Ronald Reagan was so awe-inspiring that they held the American hostages until the day that Ronald Reagan was sworn in, January 20th, 1981. And then they let the American hostages go because they knew that they weren't dealing with a school child anymore. And honestly, Victor, you know it, I know it, and the American people will know it soon enough. We're dealing with school children. Joe Biden is the, 78-year-old school child.
This is the Chris Plant Show.
You met Lala Kent on Vanderpump Rules. Now Lala and her friends share everything on Give Them Lala.
I'm expecting my second child. Which is very, very amazing.
Congratulations.
To say. Feels
We're
that
all
way.
With child.
You can say she's pregnant, she's knocked up, anything except with child.
Oh, I love with child. I'm going to be saying it all the time. Yep. Excuse
yes,
me.
Yes, yes.
6 feet, I'm with child.
Watch what Lala is talking about on YouTube or search for Give Them Lala wherever you listen.
Also, in addition to the Jimmy Carterizing of America, which is ongoing under lunch bucket Joe Biden, he's just a stuffed shirt. He doesn't know what's going on. But the radical left, which has taken over the country, the White House, the House of Representatives, the Senate, they have these old stooges, Chuck Schumer and Nancy Pelosi out there. But really, the squad is running the show and all of the crazy people running the organizations that funneled so many tens of millions to the Democrats to put them in power, and now they're here to wreck everything, and they're getting to work lickety-split, as Chaz Bono likes to say, really fast stuff. But importantly, I have breaking news for you here. Liz Cheney, Congresswoman Liz Cheney, has been ousted, removed from her leadership position by voice vote. It was a voice vote among the Republicans in the House of Representatives. She was the number three Republican in the House of Representatives, and they took a voice vote today. Liz Cheney has been ousted from her leadership position, and it's a brave new world. It's an all new kind of thing, ousted and removed by voice vote. So they didn't have to go in and get everybody in the. If you did go to another vote, it would have become more complicated, but it is. I've not long been a big Liz Cheney basher. I think that she's an intelligent person. She ended up on the wrong side of everything and all of this. She's like, I'm sorry, which party are you with? I was talking about it yesterday, and she doesn't like President Trump. Okay, you don't like President Trump. You don't have to, launch a war against him, and you don't have to launch a war against your own party and your own party's agenda. And you don't have to, but she just played everything horribly, terribly, from a political standpoint. And if she wanted to stay in the House of Representatives as a Republican in good standing, then she did everything wrong, absolutely everything wrong. And now she's been removed from the number three position in the House of Representatives for the Republicans. And her future does not look bright within the Republican Party and within the House of Representatives. She's gone. O-I-O-I. I don't know how to replace her, but she'll be replaced, actually. This is the kind of thing that the Republicans should have started doing long ago, quite honestly, with Republicans like Mitt Romney, for example. who are treated as though they're, you know, members in good standing when they spend most of their time doing the work and the bidding of the Democrat Party. I was talking about it yesterday. The Washington Post yesterday was on a jihad in favor of, on behalf of Liz Cheney. And when the Washington Post, when you're a Republican House member and you're the daughter of Dick Cheney, who the Washington Post and the Democrats and the media treated so incredibly shabbily, to put it quite gently, you know, you don't want the Washington Post in your corner if you're Liz Cheney. That's a bad thing. And they had everything yesterday, like five stories and a political cartoon all supporting Liz Cheney. But really, it's not in support of Liz Cheney. It was just to attack the Republicans. And they used this opportunity to attack the Republicans using, you know, if you're an anti-Republican Republican, like the anti-American Eagle in like Flint, then the news media just loves you. And they use you. And then when they're done with you, they kick you to the curb like the Clinton White House with Monica Lewinsky. You know, that's how they do things. That's their, these are abusive people, and it's the way they live their lives. It's their credo. It's their whole thing. Liz Cheney did go to the floor of the House of Representatives yesterday and try to defend herself a bit. We've got some audio on this. Let's go to soundbite number 18. We're not going to flog it, but she went on and on about, you know, how she likes good things. She doesn't like President Trump, and she doesn't like, but she, I mean, she's just been on the wrong side of everything for a long time. So Liz Cheney, here's Liz Cheney yesterday on the floor of the House of Representatives.
This is not about policy. This is not about partisanship.
Yeah,
this is about our duty as Americans. Mm-hmm. Remaining silent and ignoring the lie emboldens the liar. I will not participate in that.
She will not.
I will not sit back and watch in silence while others lead our party down a path that abandons the rule of law and joins the former president's crusade to undermine our democracy.
That's right, to undermine our democracy. Now, okay, she disagrees with that. And, you know, you can have disagreements within the party, and that's okay. But honestly, just played everything. She went on a jihad against her own party, against the President Trump, and she did it in a very controversial and honestly an unintelligent way, an unserious way. And she made big mistakes, big mistakes. Governor Chris Christie, former Governor Chris Christie of New Jersey, former Republican presidential candidate as well and possible future Republican presidential candidate, yesterday was asked about Liz Cheney and the way that she has played all of this.
Pretty clear to me that Liz Cheney doesn't want to be in leadership anymore. I think the stuff she's been doing is telling everybody that she doesn't want to be in leadership anymore because she won a vote previously by a rather large margin and then continued to try to pick fights with people inside the caucus. That's not the way you say leader of the caucus. And I think Elise Stefanik, let's remember something, Brian. She comes from a swing district in New York State. Obama won that district twice, and Trump won it twice. So this is a very swing district. I think Elise is going to bring great vision, standing from her constituents, and a new voice into the leadership group. And I think that's a good thing for Republicans. I think she'll win the election, and I think she'll be a very good leader. I have nothing against Liz Cheney as a person, but it's clear to me she doesn't want to be in leadership anymore. We want people who want to be there, and I think Elise wants to be there.
Yeah, and that's, and Elise Stefanik is great. She's a fighter. She's tough as nails. She's smart. She is fearless. The Washington Post savages her at every possible turn. The Washington Post, again, savaging Senator Josh Hawley today with a very lengthy, exhaustive, very heavily researched smear piece because they're a Democrat Party rag owned by the filthy richest man in the world that they're supposed to hate, but they don't. But House Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy has come out and said Elise Stefanik will replace, or he wants her to replace, Liz Cheney as the number three Republican in the House. And honestly, I think, now again, the media will do everything they can to savage her because the media is very corrupt in the United States, left-wing corrupt and dishonest. They lie all the time. And they cheat on their spouses and probably their taxes and definitely their expense reports. They cheat on everything they can cheat on. But this is a remarkable development. There was an endorsement yesterday that, I don't know if we did this whole thing, but it's kind of funny. O.J. Simpson, you know, speaking of slash and burn, O.J. Simpson yesterday posted a video of himself. He likes to do this from time to time. I guess, you know, he's a political leader, I guess, mostly for people on the left. He came out yesterday, and just to show you how, you know, how dead Liz Cheney is politically, O.J. Simpson came out in support of Liz Cheney.
Cable news is all about Liz Cheney. Now, I got to admit, I was not a fan of Liz Cheney.
He
Don't
was
get me
not.
Wrong. I'm 50-50 on her politics, but
yeah, 50-50.
I didn't like her. And
like
then
her.
I just realized recently the reason I didn't like her had to do with her father, probably my least favorite politician of my adult life, former Vice President Dick Cheney. Then I saw a show the other day, and I saw
He's
a quote
a Democrat
by Voltaire
murderer.
That said that patriotism was the enemy of mankind.
Yeah,
thought
Voltaire.
About that
yeah.
a little bit.
He's
somehow
anti-patriot.
I started thinking about the Republican Party.
Yeah, they're patriotic.
It seemed that
so they're the enemy of mankind.
Fact-based truth and honesty seem to be the enemy of many of these Republican politicians.
The end is my favorite part. I love the that. So wait a minute. The Republican Party, because they're patriotic, are the enemy of civilization because Voltaire said that patriotism is the enemy of civilization. And O.J.'s got it figured out, and you know, slash and burn O.J. He's. I have a great picture of my oldest brother with O.J. Simpson at a party. It was before the murders. Before the murders, my brother and O.J. hanging out, kind of a fun picture. And then O.J., this made me laugh out loud. O.J. Ended his little video. No sense of irony. I always talk about how lefties have no sense of irony. O.J. definitely has no sense of irony. O.J. Simpson yesterday in endorsing Liz Cheney, even though he hated his her father and patriots. He doesn't like patriots because something Voltaire allegedly said. O.J. ending it with irony yesterday.
In any event, get your shots. Hope you stay healthy. God bless.
Yeah, there you go. Get your shots. He's pushing the Democrat, the Biden agenda. Hope you stay healthy. Say that to the mother of your children. Why don't you? I think you sawed her head off, didn't you, with a giant knife and then killed that Ron Goldman guy, too. Pretty amazing.
Hope you stay healthy. God bless.
There it is. I recognize that. What is it? Was it O.J.?
Hope you stay healthy. God bless.
Now, it's we're not making fun of the murder, just the murderer. It's
Hope you stay healthy. God bless.
Little Alfred Hitchcock meets O.J. Simpson. He was never in any Alfred Hitchcock movies, but he could have been. That's quite remarkable stuff. Remarkable stuff. All right, let's go to let's see. We've got a lot of audio to get to that is great stuff. Let's go to soundbite number one. Let's get into this. Rand Paul yesterday, once again, who's a medical doctor, a doctor just like Dr. Anthony Fauci, except he's also a senator rather than the highest paid government employee, which Anthony Fauci is, more than the president of the United States because, well, you know, he did go to medical school and he knows a couple of things. Joe Biden, on the other hand, another thing altogether. But we have lots and lots of things. There are multiple stories. First of all, this great story, this amazing story that came out yesterday, and it was the New York Times that came out with the story yesterday, that the CDC put out, the New York Times, what they called misleading data. That's understatement to say it's misleading data on outdoor COVID transmission. All right. David Leonhard, the suggested New York Times piece, outdoor transmission is below 1%. See, they were telling us it was below 10%, and said below 1% in reality and maybe below 0.1%. That'd be 1 in 1,000 chance of. So the New York Times called out the CDC over what the paper described as misleading data, completely dishonest regarding outdoor transmission, saying that and what the Biden people have been telling us and the CDC have been telling us outdoor transmission is below 10%. Well, it's true that below 1% is also below 10%, and it's true that 0.1% is below 10%. All of that is true. However, it's very misleading. And as the New York Times said, it's like saying there are fewer than 2,000 shark attacks annually, when in reality they're below 150. It's both true and misleading. But pay no attention to that. So let's go to Rand Paul and Anthony Fauci yesterday talking about the Wuhan laboratory in China, which is a leading suspect in terms of hunting for the origin of the COVID-19. Rand Paul and Anthony Fauci going at it a little bit yesterday.
Dr. Fauci, do you still support funding of the NIH funding of the lab in Wuhan?
Senator Paul, with all due respect, you are entirely and completely incorrect that the NIH has not ever and does not now fund gain-of-function research in the Wuhan Institute
of Virology. Do they fund Dr. Barrick?
We do not fund...
Do you fund Dr. Barrick's gain-of-function research?
An American researcher.
Dr. Barrick does not doing gain-of-function research, and if it is, it's according to the guidelines, and it is being conducted in North Carolina, not in China.
You don't think inserting a bat virus spike protein that he got from the Wuhan Institute into the SARS virus is gain-of-function?
That is not...
You would be in the minority...
An American researcher that he's talking about. Let's skip number two here, Michael, and go to. They're talking about Dr. Senator Rand Paul talking about medical research that takes viruses and alters the viruses to make them more transmissible to humans. An American researcher funded by the American taxpayer working with the laboratory in Wuhan on what they call gain of function, meaning it has a new function. It can be transmitted to humans from animals to humans, let's say. And we have provided funding through various organs and agencies, and Fauci was playing a semantic game yesterday. Let's go to soundbite number three, though, because he asked about the funding the lab in Wuhan and whether, maybe that's the origin of this virus.
Do you support that the money from NIH that was going to the Wuhan Institute?
Let me explain to you why that was done. The SARS-CoV-1
money to
originated in bats in China.
In Wuhan.
It would have been irresponsible of us if we did not investigate the bat viruses and the serology to see who might have been infected in China.
Or perhaps it would be irresponsible to send it to the Chinese government that we may not be able to trust with this knowledge and with this incredibly dangerous viruses.
There was also a moment where he was asked, so he was admitting that they were working on that and that we were funding, but he was playing a semantic game with it all, Anthony Fauci was, and it was kind of embarrassing for him, but you need a, like, Washington to English translator at these hearings a lot of time, and you certainly need it, because he was playing all dicey, playing cagey with the English language, Fauci was yesterday. And in a left-handed Washington kind of way, he conceded, well, yes, that we were working with the lab in Wuhan, and yes, we were providing some funding, but not specifically for this particular function, gain-of-function issue that Dr. Rand Paul was talking about. And then he was asked whether he believed that it's possible that the virus originated in the lab, and he said, well, we need to look into that. So, once again, Fauci playing dicey with the language, but he did, in a Washington left-handed kind of way, concede, yeah, it's possible that it came from the laboratory in Wuhan, and we should look into that because we still don't know. And that is in large part, of course, because the Chinese have been stonewalling and deceiving and destroying evidence. We'll be right back.
You're listening to The Chris Plant Show.
Mike Carruthers shares little pieces of intel and interviews you can use to improve your life on the Something You Should Know podcast.
The next time you're looking for a job and have to write a cover letter, here's some advice from Skip Freeman, author of a book called Headhunter's Hiring Secrets. Add a P.S. to the bottom of that cover letter. That can actually increase the chances of that letter being read by up to 75%. Some people actually glance down and read the P.S. first.
Something You Should Know. Search on YouTube or wherever you listen.
All right, let's get back to some of the study. Yeah, the CDC, the New York Times blew the cover for the CDC. Oh, yeah, the outdoor transmission rate is less than 10%. Turns out it's less than 1% and possibly 0.1%. So if it's 0.1% versus 10%, they inflated the number by, 1,000%? Is that that's 10 times 10? Well, 100%. 100 times. Yeah, that's right, 1,000%. Yeah, and then they got found out, and it was the New York Times that found them out. Let's go to this final exchange between Dr. Senator Rand Paul and Dr. Anthony Fauci.
Will you, in front of this group, categorically say that the COVID-19 could not have occurred through serial passage in a laboratory?
I do not have any accounting of what the Chinese may have done, and I'm fully in favor of any further investigation of what went on in China.
He has no accounting. He has no idea. Did it come from the lab was the question. He says, I have no idea. We should look into that. That's the first time he's been asked and the first time he answered. Senator Susan Collins, kind of a quasi-Republican 3 days a week from Maine, stuck it to the CDC a little bit there yesterday, and Dr. Rochelle Walensky.
Dr. Walensky, I used to have the utmost respect for the guidance from the CDC. I always considered the CDC to be the gold standard. I don't anymore.
The CDC, it's kind of like me and the FBI, the intelligence community and the entire country. Senator Collins on the CDC guidance.
Guidance from your agency has undermined public confidence.
Yes, it most certainly has. Senator Bill Cassidy, a Republican, in the same hearing, sticking it to the CDC.
Walk outside and wear a mask. You're vaccinated and everybody else is in the room is vaccinated, but you're wearing a mask. The American people have just lost patience with us.
Yeah, I like the way he said with us, not just with them. Now, I've got a sample. Let's hit Dr. Rochelle Walensky.
What would you say to parents who are considering getting their kids vaccinated now?
I would encourage all parents to get their children vaccinated. I know many parents are enthusiastic and have been texting me, can't wait to get their children vaccinated.
Can't wait.
There some parents want to sort of see how it goes first, but I am encouraging all parents to get their children vaccinated.
Why would you see how it goes first? Just, stick it in them and see how it comes out. They're just your kids. You can always have more. You know, that's how that works.